What up, America?
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, Dre, crank it up. Yeah.
You ready?
Pump it up. Time to talk some sports, people.
Oh, yeah.
Time is now.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't
what
see
man?
Me. My time is now. It's a franchise.
What man?
I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
In case you forgot, old fellow.
In case you forgot, of course, it is, of course, talking sports with the 12th man. What a beautiful, beautiful Thursday evening. And, of course, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host Robert Ford. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man on a new night, only because of Andre's traveling schedule. It is Thursday, as I mentioned before, June the 13th. Got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of NBA, some football. It's what we do every day, all day. I hope Rob's not wearing any of Dwayne Wade's capris, but checking in with my co-host, Mr. Bob Ford, how you doing today? you're not picking
doing
up that style,
great.
Man?
Did you at least learn some German for our German listeners?
I did. Hello, wie geht's to all of my German listeners. That's what it's all about. Danke, bitte schön for all of my listeners out there. We want to wish you alles klar. All that fun stuff. That's what it's all about. We'll have some fun. More German a little bit later, too, but that's what it's all about. We're having some fun.
Fantastic. We know it's a little bit after 5 a.m. in Germany. We know we have some long listeners there. We certainly appreciate it. How was the trip?
Trip was fantastic. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I could have done the show Tuesday, but due to technical difficulties and Skyping, and I figured we'd have to just kind of postpone it. So, everyone else, we are happy to say we are ready to roll, and I am back. So, let's go ahead and jump right into the show. For those that want to call in, I'm going to throw out some numbers, as always, to call into the show. If you want to add your thoughts, anything you want to discuss with us, with Robert or myself, that number is 424-243-9519. We're also, obviously, on Facebook. If you want to find our page, go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Sometimes you can find us by that's the actual page address. You can also look up Talking Sports with 12th Man. And finally, we are on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at 12th Man. That's 12, T-H-M-A-N Sports. And that is how you find us. So without further ado, Mr. Ford, let's get started. Everything, like I said, going good with you? I know I'm kind of abbreviated here. Everything going good in your world? To make sure I check in with you.
Oh, yeah. Let's get this party started, Doc.
All right, sir. First and foremost, let's talk about some NBA. The playoffs are front and center. If you're watching this very exciting game between Miami and San Antonio, it seems like it's going back and forth, a couple different runs. San Antonio is actually holding off the Heat. And I guess the question I have for you, Mr. Ford, Rob, is that, the Heat got blown out game three. Or if you will, game two, I'm trying to figure out the game they got blown out from. Going to get my days right here. Please forgive me coming from traveling here. And the question that you posed is, does LeBron James come up big in game four? So what do you think about the statement right now? Obviously, they're playing, had a good start. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, first and foremost, I want to apologize to our listeners. I haven't had the opportunity to actually watch the game this evening, but based on what I can tell, it sounds like he's been a lot more aggressive tonight.
Yeah.
Looked like he's getting it done on both ends of the floor. And I know Miami's clinging to about a five-point lead thus far in this ball game. But if Miami's going to have any chance at winning not only tonight but the rest of this series, they're going to need that game six of LeBron against the Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think early on in this series, he's been a little bit too passive. And I think this kind of goes back to the end of the Pacers series. When Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh started whining about they're not getting enough shots. And I think ever since then, LeBron James, being the unselfish player that he is trying to get those guys involved. And it worked in game seven against the Pacers, but it has not worked so far in this series. And I think he's just going to have to be aggressive, and he's going to have to be a leader in order for this team to have any opportunity to beat a very good San Antonio Spurs team. And so far tonight, it looked like he's taking the bull by the horn and is taking control of this ball game. But, you know, the game's not over, and they got to definitely finish off business tonight. He's going to have to continue to be aggressive for the remainder of this third quarter and fourth quarter for the Heat to have an opportunity to win.
Yeah, I watched the game, and the Heat got off to a dynamic start. But once again, the Spurs, they didn't panic. Rob, they figured out how to close the gap. The Heat had a 10-point lead right before halftime, and obviously the Spurs were able to kind of whittle that down, get the game tied, and just kind of proven that they're definitely into this mental game too. So it's definitely a good series. And have your thoughts changed about this? Did you pick San Antonio to win this, Rob?
Well, I think, I actually, prior to the series starting, I picked Miami in 6 or 7. And but, obviously the way the series has been going thus far, it doesn't look like my prediction is going pretty good so far. But I think Miami still has a shot if they can win tonight. If they don't win tonight, obviously the series is over. San Antonio will win in the next game or two if Miami does not win tonight. So it's going to be really interesting. I just think, like I said, in order for the Heat to win, they're just going to need an aggressive LeBron James. He's going to really prove and really show the world that he's the greatest player on the planet in order for him to have an opportunity to win. Because you just never know what he's going to get from his teammates. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are both a shell of themselves right now at this point in their careers.
Yeah, it seems like that Dwayne Wade didn't want to play any defense, man. So hopefully he's kind of corrected that. And this is where, if you're looking at the Spurs, man, they're not afraid to go out and do the little stuff, Rob. They don't make a lot of turnovers. They make you beat them. And this is why this is a mental game at this point, Rob. You're looking at the way that the Spurs are playing. Obviously. The big three versus LeBron, and you kind of look back. The Spurs got a big three, but it is interesting. It seems like team ball versus more individual ball. Because I know, and obviously I'm being, the Heat are playing team ball, but I just think that the Spurs kind of know, hey, this is how we're going to limit this team. We're going to make them play our pace, and they know kind of how the parts fit, if you will, Rob.
Well, absolutely. I think the Spurs play the smartest brand of basketball. They've done so for years in the NBA. And you have to appreciate it as a basketball fan how unselfish they play as a ball club. And, there's no I in team with the San Antonio Spurs. Everybody on the team is very unselfish. If you look at their ball club, there are not a lot of great athletes on their team either. They just play the game the right way. They swing the ball on offense. Kawhi Leonard might be the best athlete they have on their team. He's 6'8", got a 7'4 wingspan, and he might be the best athlete they have on their team. Not a lot of great athletes. They just play the game the right way. They're smart, coach. I find something interesting what Greg Popovich said, and this maybe we could touch on this for a bit. He actually believes that the international players are smarter basketball players than American players.
Oh.
If you look at the San Antonio Spurs, they have 9 international players on their ball club that are born outside of America. And if American players dribble the ball too much, they don't swing the ball. International players are taught to swing the ball around, wide open guys. And the Spurs value international scouting. And, you hate to say this, but, he's proven to be somewhat right. He's got 9 international players on his ball club.
Wow, I think that's a great point, Rob. Because
he bashes the AAU system, so you have to wonder: are we really teaching our kids in America the fundamentals of basketball? We have the best athletes.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. And it seems like a lot of these players that come from overseas, they're if anyone, all of our listeners, they had a chance to kind of watch what goes on. I had a chance to kind of view this. And they're drilled about just fundamentals, Rob. Drilled. A lot of, they go through a lot of the drills. A lot of the young players, too, they actually play on older teams sometimes, too. So a lot of times you may have a guy that's younger. He's running with a team of grown adults, grown men. And it seems like from there that they're kind of accustomed to kind of playing and you know, kind of getting that stage. So by the time they, you know, they make it to whether they're playing on the national team or vice versa, they're able to adapt quickly because they've been playing, they've been going through the drills, they've been working on the fundamentals, and they're ready to go. So, you know, sadly, unfortunately, a lot of players in America, they're looking for, you know, maybe unselfishly, I know they're trying to take care of their families and whatnot, I don't want to knock them, but it just seems like it is more flash and dash, Rob, as opposed to really sitting down, knowing fundamentals, stop dribbling, you know, using spacing, you know, knowing what goes on with what's on the floor. And like you said, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, they actually value players that understand angles, understand certain options, hit the open man, and keep it moving as is.
Look out. Your Atlanta Hawks just hired the San Antonio Spurs assistant, so they're going to be bringing in some international players to Atlanta pretty soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, too, you know, we're looking forward to a lot of the changes that have taken place. Because, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you haven't got out of the second round in your existence, I mean, you know, you have to shake up the core and definitely make some moves. So I'm a big fan of the hire. You know, certain people are like, say what? And they wanted to hear a name, be it a Brian Shaw or, you know, Nate McMillan or vice versa. They didn't feel like, you know, kind of they should have kept Larry Drew. But I think some fresh blood is good, excuse me, and a guy that's going to really, he can walk in the room and say, look, I've got, you know, four rings, you know, bring it on. So I think that's a great opportunity, and the Hawks should definitely kind of, like, you know, heed their advice and see it plays out.
Absolutely, should be interesting.
Speaking of craziness, and yeah, I'm calling this crazy, Jason Kidd being hired by the Brooklyn Nets. You talk about a move. I mean, Rob, he was suiting up playing, you know, a little while ago. And now he's one of the bench. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this move. I'm going to – not that I knock Jason Kidd. I know he hasn't known for being the smartest or the brightest bulb in the drawer, but I don't know about this move, Rob. I mean, I guess he could have stayed a player coach, but I think this is a big mistake. It's a big risk, but, you know, for a guy that hasn't had any experience, you know, kind of following staff and the assistant coach, I don't know if this is a good move, Rob. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, it's definitely a very interesting story and I think definitely a very risky move by the Brooklyn Nets, hiring an inexperienced coach, Jason Kidd. Now, don't get me wrong, point guards make great head coaches.
Yep.
And Jason Kidd, this would be the first time in 10 years, I think it was about 10 years ago, Avery Johnson made the leap. From a player to coach in 1 year, just like this. Avery was the last guy to do it and did a pretty decent job. Took the Mavericks to the finals, although they all beat the loss. But this is a very interesting, risky move. But based on the sources that we have here at 12 Man Sports, Jason Kidd just went in there and lit up the interview room. Was very impressive, went in there with a list of assistant coaches that he already had lined up. And they gave him an opportunity. He actually hunted out the Brooklyn Nets. They didn't actually hunt him out. And went in and stole the job. It looked like Brian Shaw was going to be a favorite. And now Jason Kidd is your Brooklyn Nets new head basketball coach. Very interesting story. I still think it's a little bit of a risky move. But obviously they like what they saw. And you can kind of give a similar story with Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers when he got the head coaching job there. Not necessarily from a player to a head coach, but he was an underdog in getting the head coaching job, and really the Steelers was only interviewing him basically to adhere to the Rooney Rule. But Mike Tomlin was an underdog in getting the job, and he went in there and stole it. He went in there and did an outstanding job. Wound up winning the Super Bowl with the Steelers, took the Steelers to another Super Bowl and lost. And I think the Steelers have made a great hire there and made a great decision, you know, and gave the guy an opportunity, albeit he was in an underdog role.
Wow. We're moving right along. Good stuff, Rob. And I was trying to, like, see if somebody else had sent us a tweet here. I apologize, Rob. Man, I like where you're going with that, too. And this is the thing, too. You know, kind of, you know, talk about a couple of different things here that we're looking at. And Jason Kidd, you know, I could talk about before. I don't think he's the sharpest knife in the drawer. And, you know, I think I agree with you 100%. Hall of Fame guy, point guard. He's just not really a vocal guy from what I've seen whenever you've watched a couple of games, too. So we're going to see if he's going to be able to adapt to this. You know, like you said, if you look at, you know, most point guards, you look at Mark Jackson, very, very vocal. You know, Doc Rivers, very vocal. You know, even Avery Johnson, man, they call him the little general, man. He was able to do his thing. I don't think you hear the same thing about Jason Kidd, but I hope he proves us wrong. So we'll see what goes on.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you've heard some options with Doc Rivers and the Celtics if he leaves. So I'm sure that the Nets have an eye on that situation too, because I'm sure he's the rich Russian billionaire is pretty much going to open up his pocketbooks to whatever Doc wants. So we'll see how that plays out. So I'm sure, you know, if this experiment can go bad, I'm sure that he can make a move pretty quickly and Jason Kidd kind of flames out. So that's kind of what, you know, not that he's a lame duck coach, Rob, but I think there's a lot of things behind that too. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, real quick, I don't know if you want to say anything else before we talk about Mo Cheeks, sir.
Well, just to wrap up the Jason Kidd, I mean, he's already the head coach of Brooklyn. So, I mean, I think they're going to give him at least a couple of years. And, you know, we'll have to – I mean, I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it. It's probably not a hire I would have made. And I think I would have probably approached him with the opportunity to be an assistant coach first. But we'll have to see. You know, obviously we weren't in the interview room when Jason Kidd presented to him. So we kind of have to wait and see. He's got some talent on that ball club, and I think the Brooklyn Nets are a team that's slightly underachieved this season, too. And, so there's
definitely
some talent there with Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Brooke Lopez, you know, and, of course, Gerald Wallace. So I think there's some talent there in the ball club that can possibly get top 2 or 3 team in the Eastern Conference with the right leadership.
Got it. Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with you heartily, too. There's some talent. I'm sure that doesn't hurt. Moving right along, I'm just going to throw out the numbers real quick for those who want to call in. So we've got about 12 minutes left in the show. You can call into the show. The number to call is 424. That's toll free, 424-243-9519. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/12thmansports, and on Twitter at 12thmansports as well. There's a lot of ways to reach us in that regard. Real quick, if you're obviously at North, you've got to be familiar with Mo Cheeks. He actually is the new coach of the Detroit Pistons. Want to hear your thoughts about this move, Rob, before we start talking about some football stuff.
Yeah, very interesting hire here. I mean, Mo Cheeks has been a head to the Philadelphia 76ers and the Portland Trailblazers in the past. Did a pretty decent job in Portland. I kind of thought that, you know, it's probably the head coach was over. But glad to see him get another opportunity with the Detroit Pistons. I was a big 76ers fan back in the early 80s, and I thought Maurice Cheeks was a heck of a defensive point guard and, you know, great leader in that ball club, especially on the 82-83 team, won a world championship with Dr. J and Moses Malone. I think he played a very crucial role as a leader, as a floor general. And so Detroit's got a long way to go. And he's got a huge rebuilding job to get that team back in the playoffs. But glad to see him get another opportunity. And we'll just kind of have to see how it shakes out for him in Detroit.
Word on the street is that Lionel Hollins is going to be let go from by the Memphis Grizzlies. I think this is unfortunately a very, very bad move, kind of similar to what happened with the Lakers getting rid of Mike Brown early. What do you think about this move?
Oh, yeah, this is even worse because they're going to make Brown. I mean, Lionel Hollins just took that team to the Western Conference Finals, just had the best season in history. And you don't give the guy a new contract. I don't understand it. I know he's had some issues with the owner and trading Rudy Gay, but I think this is a huge mistake. I mean, he was a guy that wanted to stay in Memphis and take a windfall here in the next couple of years.
I agree with you hard.
A huge mistake, and that's the point of just having a huge ego there in Memphis. They're going to head in the wrong direction. Somebody's going to get a good basketball coach in Lionel Hollins.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it happened like that too, Rob. you know, certain times, you know, certain people, like you said, ego or whatever the reason. And the word on the street, our sources from 12 Man Sports are saying that it definitely was the fact that I don't think Lionel Hollins was happy about the move to trade Rudy Gay. I know we keep talking about this. So he wanted to keep Rudy Gay, and obviously management felt differently, went a different direction. And Lionel did what he needed, you know, what he needed to do, but just unfortunately they came a little short. So, you know, I think they take a step back, as you mentioned, Rob, and we'll see how they stack up, because that's a big, big loss of a great, great coach. Let's talk about this expansion in Seattle. The NBA is actually discussing a franchise expansion for Seattle, and we're talking about if this is a good move. And I'm going to go on the limb and say I think this is an excellent move. Obviously, Seattle, they're missing the Supersonics, but I think it's an excellent move. They got a fan base. They got a lot of support. That's half the battle whenever you're building your team. Rob Ford, hope he's still around. Oop, he's got to cut down on me. Good deal. Going to hold on for Rob real quick as he drops off the line. But that's okay. We're going to keep it moving here. And we'll let him call back in to the show as we are moving right along talking our 12th Man Sports here. But as we talk about some other options here, Lionel Hollins, we're talking about the move to Seattle. I think it's a great move. And in fact, that I know that Seattle wanted to actually tab Sacramento, and Sacramento was able to do their thing and hold it down. And Sacramento was able to keep that team. And obviously it looks like Seattle will get their opportunity to, if everything goes well, if it gets approved by the NBA, they'll get a chance to add that franchise back to Seattle. So, Rob, I was just checking if you were kind of hearing your thoughts on the move to Seattle, possibly getting this expansion team.
Yeah, sorry to our listeners here. I had a little bit of technical difficulty doing the show from the road tonight. But, yeah, I think this would be great for the NBA and the city of Seattle. This would be a fantastic move. I hope they can get this worked out in another year or two. The city is ready to build a new arena. The fans want the team back. They have a couple of billionaire owners there that's ready to make it happen. And, you know, who cares if we're going to have a high number of teams, 31. I guess that means we'll probably have 16 teams in the Western Conference, 15 in the Eastern Conference, or vice versa, something like that. And so I think this will be a fantastic move for the NBA. And I believe it's going to happen here. Don't be surprised if we have an announcement before the next NBA season that they're going to expand to Seattle probably in the next year or two.
Wow, that fast, huh?
And I think it was great that they were able to keep the team in Sacramento, too.
I agree. That's definitely like whenever you had a chance to make that adjustment, I was talking about how Sacramento fought really hard, and they were able to keep their team. So I think it's a great move. And then just kind of, like you said, just kind of open up the gates, let another team get added, and keep them moving from there. We got about 6 minutes and 41 seconds left in our live portion of the show. And I don't want to keep Rob too late. I know he's got stuff going on. Let's talk about some moves in the NFL. And, you know, there's a lot of good moves. And number one in that, I don't know if this is a good move, but the Broncos have actually cut Willis McGahee. This is something that I think this was kind of a surprise for my barber. Shout out to Alex and Hill. I don't think that he was happy with this move. Why do you think the Broncos made this move to cut their leading rusher, Rob?
Well, I think what you're seeing here, Denver Broncos, they're looking to go younger at the position. I know Denver made who was the running back Denver Broncos drafted in the second round? Was it Monte Ball?
I know they drafted him. I don't know if it was the second round or not, too, but I know we were talking about that, too. But,
okay,
go ahead.
The Broncos
drafted
the running back in the second round. I don't know if we have a listener who can call in with that information.
I
know they're looking to go. They're looking to go younger at the position. They're hoping that No'Shawn Marino is ready to step up at the running back position for the Broncos. And Willis McGahee has just had a ton of injuries over the years. I think he can still help a ball club in the pinch. And and I think, you know, you're looking at a salary. They're looking at they can go with some younger players at the position that can help them right now. You know, running backs is the type of position in the NFL where you can have instant success. You know, it doesn't normally take guys 2 or 3 years, you know, to, you know, have really good seasons. And so I think that's what the Denver Broncos are counting on.
Yep, Monte Ball was definitely their second-round pick. I just verified that as well. So, yep, that's who they have. You got a second-round guy coming in. I want to say your days are almost numbered. Sort of, if you're an older guy, if you're a salary cap casualty or something like that, too. But like you said, a lot of different circumstances. He was getting older, as you mentioned, a lot of injuries. And, you know, I still think you'd like to have him in the locker room, Rob, but so this looks like they wanted to, they had to make a move, and that was kind of a roster thing, too.
And you never know what the situation is going to be with injuries. You know, you're going to keep a flyer on a player. You know, you're going to, you know, keep them right there readily available on your Rolodex just in case you need to call them back. And, you know, running backs from time to time, you know, every team probably is going to have about 1 or 2 injuries at that position throughout the year, some minor nicks, some are major. And so you never know. Willis McGahee is going to get another shot with somebody.
Yep, he's going to be a veteran presence. You know, what a team that's a losing team, Rob, they may want to bring someone, they may want to bring him back in. You know, maybe he ends up in Jacksonville, you know, back where he played at the University of Miami. Who knows if that's even a fit, but we'll keep him moving. Not to cause any controversies. I was just throwing out some ideas, too. We're moving right along. Obviously, talking sports with the 12th man. You're listening in on this Thursday. That number, once again, call in the show. Give us your thoughts, 424-243-9519. And also, we're on Facebook. Facebook.com/12thmansports, and as well as being on Twitter at 12thmansports as well. Let's talk about another big move, Rob. We got about 3 minutes left in the show, Rob. Let's talk about another big move, Rob, in that your boy, Tim Tebow, signs with the Patriots.
Oh, man, I was hoping we could go through the show without mentioning his name. Man, we can't just get through a show without mentioning Tim Tebow.
You know that was going to happen, Rob. Come on, man. That was actually a story. I know I do this just kind of play with you. What?
You do this to me on purpose.
I do that to you. I'm not going to lie about it. But actually, this is a story, man. What do you think about
yes,
football?
Yes, it is. I'm just
funny. I know. I must be excited. I figured out a way to put him in the show, too. So that's kind of on me, kind of something fun. But, yeah, you know, what do you think about this move, Rob? Is he going to play quarterback? Is he going to play, like, a myriad of positions? Is Bill Belichick smarter than all of us?
Well, I think Bill Belichick right now, you would have to say, is still the best head football coach in the National Football League, in my opinion. Even though he hasn't won the Super Bowl, I believe, since 2005, I think he's still the best in the business. And, you know, he's still a little arrogant, too. So, you know, he wants to prove everybody wrong that Tim Tebow can still play. Now, here's what I think you're going to see with Tim Tebow. He's not going to take snaps away from Tom Brady. So let's forget about that.
Definitely.
People.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What you're going to see is a hybrid ball player. They're going to move him around. They're going to try tricks with him. They're going to line him up at tight end. They're going to try trick plays. They're going to try to play him as fullback, running back. They're going to do different things with him, get him on the field. And I think that's what you're looking at here with Tim Tebow. They're going to try to use him as a hybrid kind of player that can kind of help him do some tricks. And I think what, you know, Bill Belichick is looking at here, hey, we're going to give teams something to game plan for. We're going to have them to waste time and game plan for something else during the week. And that's what Bill Belichick is basically thinking here.
I love the conversation, Rob. We're going to keep this moving. We got about a minute. Let's set up the OT portion real quick, and we'll keep talking about your favorite player, Tim Tebow.
Well, I know you guys won't be able to listen to our OT portion here live tonight, but if you have some time tomorrow during your lunch breaks at work, you know, tune in the same link and you can get into our OT portion. We're going to be previewing the NFC. We're going to be making our NFC predictions on tonight, as well as talking a little bit more NFL and keep everyone up to date on what's happening here on the NBA Finals as well. So definitely tune in. And also, next week, we're going to be back to our Tuesday night schedule. That's going to be 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. For our people in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time, and that'll be Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. for our good friends in Germany. Once again, we want to thank you all for listening. Thanks, and continue to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, people, at 12th Man Sports.
Gotcha. That's what it's all about. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to keep talking to Tim Tebow. It's what we do. Anyway, good night, people. Don't forget to tune into the OT portion. Talk to you later.
Good night, people.
All right, let's move on. We are officially in the OT portion. And I know I was literally messing with you, Rob, whenever I was talking about Tebow. I just think it's fun to figure out how to incorporate him into the show. Just to let you know, yeah, it's and this is where, you know, a lot of times if you're Bill Belichick, and obviously I think the dude is an excellent, probably one of the best coaches, better coaches to ever play in the league. You know, talent helps out as well in certain aspects, but I think he's figuring out a way. He's going to get a player that he can use him in a myriad of positions, Rob. He can, you know, he can say, hey, line up his tight end. Hey, you know, that way he's actually saving a roster space. So I think it's a brilliant move. You know, obviously when we talked about it, you said it earlier that he's not going to be a threat to Tom Brady. He's not taking snaps away from Tom Brady. That's where you have a veteran guy in there, and they've been avoiding the media circus. But whenever you have a young quarterback who's impressionable, like Mark Sanchez, of course it's going to be challenging, but you know, it is what it is. We're keeping it moving as always. Where are we talking about? We're waiting for Rob to jump back on our OT portion of the show. And where are we at? Let's talk about a little bit more about Matt Barkley and the Eagles agreeing to a 4-year deal. And the question that is posed: does he have a chance to start? I'm going to go on the limb and actually say no, he's not going to have a chance to start because of the fact that I think it's going to be tough. So, you know, we'll keep it moving as far as that. I'm going to hold real quick, and we're going to do some quick music here. Stay tuned, everyone. We are making progress here. So anyway, for those who are listening to the OT portion, have to apologize to you guys. Unfortunately, Mr. Ford, his line, he got dropped. So we will continue to talk next week with Talking Sports at 12th Man. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at obviously facebook.com/12thmansports or Talking Sports at 12th. If you want to find that and literally type that in, we are actually on Twitter. Once again, the handle is twitter.com/T12, which is, 1-2, and then THMAN Sports. And if I sound a little tired, guys, I apologize, people out there. I just got back from Germany yesterday, so the jet lag may be kicking in. But we appreciate all of our listeners as I combine two words at once. And don't forget to tune in next week. It is what about. That's what it is all about. Anyway, we'll talk about our NFC division predictions, and we'll also talk about what Warren Sapp had to say about the Steelers. They're getting old and slow, and we'll keep it moving, and we'll also talk about the Eagles and Matt Barkley signing his 4-year deal. Other than that, we'll talk soon. Everyone have a good evening. Vita Zan. Talk to you later. Good night, people.